I listen back to all the episodes, not like all the way through, but I just like listen how I talk. I'm like, God, I would want to. Who listens to us?
I know. I'm the same way.
Like, I need to pronunciate. I need to stop saying so many goddamn times.
Yeah, I edit out too. Like, really? As much as I can.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so there's like probably two or three times as many ums.
I wonder how.
I've gotten so good at identifying your ums in waveform. It genuinely bothers me.
We could probably record for 3 hours and you cut it down to like an hour and a half for all of our ums.
There's so many ums.
Yeah, but I'm like, I sound like I'm a little intoxicated, but I'm normally not.
Yeah.
You know?
That's your secret.
Yeah.
You're always intoxicated. Like the Hulk.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Breeders Podcast. So I am Daniel. He is Nathan. We read a different trade paperback every week. We're brothers. It's like a comic book club,
Nathan. Whenever you try and go really fast, you just completely trip and stumble.
I don't know how people rap. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy, yeah.
Did I miss anything? I think I got it all.
You got it all, just in a much different order than what we normally do. And yeah, we don't even really have an order.
I just shuffled up our intro.
Yeah, you hit shuffle.
Yeah. Before
we get started,
I have a surprise for you.
Oh my goodness.
Just sit right there and look pretty.
What? Okay. A surprise.
Very big surprise.
I bet we can hear your fucking footsteps.
Look what I got.
No way.
Isn't that sick?
Is that a Trade Waiters flag with our Spotify thing on the bottom?
Our Spotify barcode thing?
That's sick.
Yeah, isn't that dope? This one's mine, but I got you one.
Oh, you got me one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, dude, I could put that on my front door.
Make sure you guys listen, okay?
Yeah, you gotta listen.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
Isn't that dope, though?
How'd you do that?
It's so easy.
Really? That's crazy. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm putting that up for sure. I'm gonna put that on the fridge.
I was so excited. I got that on, like, Monday. I'm like, ooh.
It's a big flag with our logo and then our Spotify thing on the bottom. That's sick, honestly.
Yeah, not very hard to do.
That's awesome.
I think I like did it all within like the length of a poop.
Were you pooping while you did it?
I think so. It went really fast.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you. What a nice little prize. That's way better than the cupcake you gave us on our 1 year.
It was a good cupcake.
It was good. I enjoyed it.
It was lemon blueberry.
But the way that this makes me feel now will make me feel that way for longer. But that cupcake.
And then every time you look at it.
Yes. Every time I look at it. I'm going to put it on my roof, actually. So every time I wake up and I look up at the roof, or at the ceiling, I should say.
Oh, I think you meant like on your roof.
No.
Like,
just on the ceiling and I'll wake up from a nice slumber.
Dude, think about all the air traffic that goes by your house. All the
not enough to see this.
Someone takes their fucking phone out the window of a plane, just like zooms in to fucking scan Enhance. It.
Enhance.
They could have something to listen to on their flight.
Yeah, exactly.
But
wow,
anyway.
That's awesome. I appreciate that
very much. Problem.
That's very nice. But we're the Trade Waiters.
We are.
And we do a thing where we read comic books. This week it's going to be Jupiter's Legacy. And we also go through the news first before we do that. But before we get into the news, let me just say there are time codes for all of you that have just discovered my podcast because of the tiny flag on my roof and you're in an airplane or whatever. We do time codes. So if you don't care about any news or you're listening to an older episode, you could just go straight to the story.
Or if you're like driving around Nathan's like parking structure, trying to like find parking.
Yo, I should put it on my garage.
Yeah, dude. Okay. Like, what is that?
I'm going to put it on my garage and then order a bunch of DoorDash.
They're probably
Chipotle
like
every day. And then a bunch of new Chipotle drivers are gonna discover Trade Waiters.
Or like all your neighbors are listeners now.
Yeah, or all my neighbors. If you're a neighbor or Chipotle driver, welcome. But let's get into the news.
Looks like Guy Gardner was cast, Nathan.
He was cast.
Do you know him?
No. Apparently he was on American Horror Story. His name is Finn Wittrock.
I've seen Whitrock. Him on a lot of like fan cast things, but never for Guy Gardner.
Yeah, it seems kind of odd for Guy Gardner. I mean,
he looks like a Nightwing to me.
Yeah, I can see him as a Nightwing.
Nightwing or just any other tall character with black hair.
Yeah, yeah. But he's been cast as Guy Gardner. I've never seen him act in anything. Have you seen American Horror Story?
No.
Have you seen him in anything?
I don't think so.
He just needs to act like a douche, honestly. It's kind of weird that...
You think they'll dye his hair blonde?
You mean... Like orange or red?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's a redhead. I hope they do, you know, Like, I don't care what Guy Gardner looks like. I just kind of want that red hair.
Sure.
And I don't know why that's important to me. Some people were saying that, like, he better have a bowl cut because, like, Guy Gardner used to have a bowl cut back in the day. And I don't really care about that. I just want him to be a douchebag with red hair.
There's not enough ginger representation in the superhero movies.
That's what I'm saying. Name one other than Guy Gardner.
It's like...
I don't think you can. Is Rexplode redhead?
I think normally, yes.
Normally, yeah.
Jean Grey.
Nice.
Got your ass.
Nailed it. Yeah, he got me. So, yeah, that's pretty exciting. It's weird that this is the first Green Lantern that
is
they
Archie
cast.
Archie redhead?
Archie's redhead, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Go ahead. What are you saying?
The Flash. One of the Flashes is a redhead. Barry? Normally?
Wally?
No. Wally.
It kind of depends. I know Wally West is
it is Wally West, yeah. And the, like, DC animated stuff, and I think normally he's a redhead.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Okay. I'm sure we could go on and on.
We could. I think let's spend the time doing this.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seems weird that this is the first Green Lantern cast, because he's not the one that's normally, like, what gets people excited.
He's like a third-tier Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Just the Earth ones.
Yeah, of just the Earth ones. He's, like, not even, like, top five. like, I would be... You'd think if they want the most people as possible to get on board with the show, they would go with a Jon Stewart or a Hal Jordan.
Yeah.
I would even be super psyched with a Kyle Rayner. Hopefully they go with a Kyle Rayner.
Think
He's like my
this.
Favorite one.
If there's enough buzz for the casting for Guy Gardner, think about how big the rest of the announcements would be. And
I
then
hope,
how big
I
the
hope
show
pretty
would
huge. I've heard rumors that they don't plan on having Hal or Jon Stewart in it, though. So... we'll see what happens, but I'm glad that this is... when they announced this, I was like, this probably isn't going to happen, because like any ounce of Green Lantern hope there has been for like a live action thing since the Ryan Reynolds one.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is that bad of a movie, but...
it's not that bad, but it's not great.
But any instance of like Green Lantern has just been kind of erased.
That was like the
especially
first...
especially from the Snyder Cut, apparently. Did you hear about that?
That the reason why they haven't had a Green Lantern is because they're the... in the Snyder Cut, it was because of the show?
Not because of the show, but they had filmed Jon Stewart scenes, and then they changed them to Martian Manhunter, apparently.
Oh.
So, that was interesting as well. But yeah,
gotcha.
When I first heard about the HBO Green Lantern series, like when they first announced that it was happening and they're about to start developing it, I tried to send a screenshot to you before we did this podcast, and I accidentally sent it to somebody else who doesn't give a shit about comics or Green Lantern in general, by mistake, and they were like, oh, cool. And then I felt embarrassed.
I would have had the same reaction.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wow. So yeah, that was funny.
I don't think like HBO would really back out on something like that, really. But
we'll see.
Weird things have been made.
Yes.
There's going to be a Sweet Tooth compendium coming out that has all 40 issues in it.
Sweet.
And that seems sick.
They haven't made that yet.
They have like the
or
trays
is it gonna,
and deluxe.
Is that
going to
include the new stuff? That was part of Black Label?
I think it's just the original series.
Okay, cool.
That would look real nice on a shelf.
That would look real nice. IDW Publishing will release Goosebumps, Secret of the Swamp graphic novel in May, which features a war between werewolves and wolf hunters.
Okay.
Which seems weird for a Goosebumps story, to be honest.
What? Wait, sorry, say it again.
Secret of the Swamp. It's a graphic novel coming out in May, which features a war between werewolves and wolf hunters. Goosebumps is, to me, is normally like, oh, I'm a kid and this potato's alive now.
Yeah, like my carpet's gonna eat me.
Exactly. You know, like campy shit
it's
like that.
It's like the boogeyman or
yeah,
something like that.
It's like this doll's alive now and he's cracking a few quips, you know? So yeah, this seems a little bit weird, but just thought it was interesting.
Nathan.
Yes.
Hot take. Captain America only has one star on his outfit, so he should be the Captain Puerto Rico.
Sure.
If you look up the flag of Puerto Rico, it's just got the one star and red and
can
black.
Can you imagine, though, if Captain America had all 50 stars on his costume incorporated somewhere?
It looks so dumb. Homelander had it.
I don't think that was all 50.
It was probably like 26 or something.
That's the best way to do it, is have it be a part of your cape. But can you imagine... but Captain America doesn't have a cape, so can you imagine just 50 stars all around him?
I only care about like two stars. Each of them has to be on a nipple.
Okay.
And then just 48 other ones spread about.
Just all on his back or something.
I think that'd be great.
Yeah. That would be super annoying for any artist. Like, no artist would want to draw fucking Captain America.
I get it now.
Yeah. Sad news.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, John Paul Leon. Leon? Yeah. Leon?
Leon, I think.
He's a super, super big influence in the comics community. He was an artist that has worked on many a things.
Lots of cover work. That is incredible.
Yeah, lots of cover work.
Sheriff of Babylon, most recently.
Yeah, I didn't know that was him. I thought that was just like a weird Mitch Jarrett's piece.
Yeah,
I just figured out it was J.P. Leon. But yeah, he's done like a ton of Batman. Like, he's just really, really like incredible artist. And he died at the very early age of 49 due to cancer.
Wild.
And he's like had recent stuff come out too, like he was just part of the Future State stuff that came out.
Oh, okay.
And everything, but everything I've seen by him, like, luckily I didn't know that much about him. He may have been in one of the books that we've read. I think he was maybe part of the Midnighter thing, but
I recognize his name and I'm like, I've read something that he's been in,
but sure. He's like fucking crushed it with everything he's been on, whether it be Batman, whether it be like Galactus, whether it be like New Gods or anything like that.
100%.
He's just like, I guess the best way to describe how great he was is just like a modern David Mazzucchelli, just based off of like his Batman work in general. I don't know if you've seen some of the pieces, but this is one of them, and like he definitely gives off that vibe of like kind of a simplistic Batman, but the landscape around him and like the buildings and shit,
yeah,
incredible.
Yeah, this is awesome.
So, lots of people on comics Twitter were posting a lot of his work, and I saved a lot of it because it looks super cool. So, maybe we should do a John Paul Leon book.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be awesome.
We have some Marvel movie announcements.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess there was one. Yeah.
Like dates. Like, we kind of knew that these were coming, but then we also got, like, some titles and then, like, some dates for them.
Yeah. I guess all that really matters is that we have four movies from Marvel coming out this year: Black Widow, Shang-Chi, Eternals, and Spider-Man. And then next year, what is it? 1, 2, 3, another four movies: Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, Thor: Love and Thunder, Black Panther: Wakanda Forever, and The Marvels, which I think was...
Yeah, so The Marvels.
Yeah, which is going to be Captain Marvel, Monica Rambeau, and Kamala Khan.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Miss Marvel.
We didn't know the title of Black Panther. And then there's also Fantastic Four that was like announced.
Yep.
So we know like that's coming and we have kind of an expectation for that.
Yep. So that's interesting. It's exciting.
Yeah. Pretty cool stuff.
The book that we read this week is Jupiter's Legacy. And I found out this week that apparently the artist Jock did some of the title sequence for Jupiter's Legacy.
And I saw that too.
They drew out awesome. Some stuff. Yeah. It looks really, really good.
It helps a lot now that we know some of these characters.
Yeah, it does.
Like, oh, he does a great like Utopian.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. He drew all the different characters, the Utopian, Chloe, things like that. Did you know that he worked on like Star Wars The Last Jedi and did like concepts for that?
Oh yeah.
And was like the first one to draw like old man Luke.
Really?
Essentially, yeah. And came up with that design and everything. That's crazy. The dude's like huge.
Jock. Like he lifts huge or just like huge in
success? He's like a huge artist in success. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's crazy. I didn't know that about him. But yeah, that's super cool that he's doing the Netflix, what is it, title sequence?
Yeah. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, me too.
We're like, there's like this show coming out. People might be like huge fans of the book. And we're just like, I can't wait for this title sequence, man.
I can't wait to see the pretty drawings
of
the people.
I know that guy.
Yeah. That's everything I got. Do you have anything else?
One more thing.
Okay.
Apparently Loki will be coming out on Wednesdays.
That sucks.
No, it'd be sick.
I mean, I go, because we record on Thursdays.
See, yeah, even better.
We can talk about it. So we'll be up to date. Yeah.
Right off the bat.
Okay, that's better.
And then, what's that, in June?
June, like 11th or something.
Yeah, so it'd be sweet.
That'd be cool.
I think I like that.
I wonder what the philosophy behind that is. Because the last
maybe
two shows...
Maybe something else will be coming out?
Maybe. Last two shows came out on Friday.
Right.
So, what about Bad Batch? That just came out. Is that a show?
Yeah, dude.
Does it come out on Fridays, or did it all, like, come out?
The first episode came out on May the 4th.
Yep.
It is now
the 6th.
The 6th. Only a 6th deals in absolutes.
Nice.
Yeah. Tomorrow will be I am the 7th.
Please don't be one of those people that carries it on all of May.
But they're so good.
No, they're not. There's the 4th and the 5th, and those are the only good ones. The other ones are stretches, if anything. But anyway, does Bad Batch come out every Friday?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I guess we'll see.
Did you watch it? I'm guessing not.
I didn't get a chance to.
It's pretty cool.
I plan on watching it. Yeah,
we'll talk about
it. Be cool. Yeah. So yeah, that's it for news. So we'll get into the book that we read this week, which was Jupiter's Legacy, technically volume 3, but it was like the first one to come out from Mark Miller.
Apparently in print, the one that I have, it's book 1. But
so it was originally printed as book 1, and then there were 2 prequels that came out, and they did a Star Wars, and those are now like episode 1 and 2, essentially.
And we're reading episode 3, technically.
In Jupiter's Legacy, A New Hope.
In the chronological order of that universe, not the chronological order in which it came out.
How fucking ballsy do you have to be to try and do a Star Wars?
Oh, dude, I didn't even realize that. Yeah,
like, come on. It'll only ever work for man. Star Wars. Yeah, no one cares about anything else as much as people care about Star Wars. So don't even try. Insane. I mean, this book is good. Like, don't get me wrong, but it's Jupiter's Legacy by Mark Miller, yep. Frank Quitely. We got Peter Doherty and Rob Miller. So that's the creative team there. But this is definitely an interesting book. I didn't know what to expect. I knew absolutely nothing about Jupiter's Legacy, so I was excited to read it for the show. But it was definitely like different than what I thought it was going to be.
I figured it would be along the lines of what this is, just based off of like, I think the covers just kind of give you an idea of like the vibe of this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, what is this? I know it's about superheroes, but like how?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think that it was more ingrained in like politics than I thought it was going to be.
And I kind of like that though.
I think that he does it really well. Yeah.
Yeah, it like works well. But,
so like, I like the general concept of all of a sudden they're superheroes, but that's not what the story is. It's when the next generation of heroes come out, and that's where we start the story kind of deal.
Yeah.
And so like there's in this universe, there's a golden age, just like, you know, in comics, there's like the golden age of comics. In this universe, there's like a golden age of heroes, and then like the modern generation.
And they got like all their powers like in the 30s, like when comic books started to come out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very, I think that idea is very unique, but it's like hard to, you wouldn't know why that's significant if you didn't know like a lot of comics history, I guess.
Yeah.
Because there are some people that might be reading this now and see the words golden age of heroes or whatever and not know what that's in reference to.
Yeah, they probably just think like,
okay,
in the context of the story.
Yeah,
like,
that's when
like all the heroes had like shit to do.
Exactly. So, anyway, I was definitely a big fan of this by the end because there's like some twists and turns I absolutely didn't expect, and I can't wait to see it in the show.
Yeah,
so.
I bought more trades.
Yeah, you did.
Of this.
So what did you buy?
So I bought this one and then the one after this.
So volume 2, but actually volume 4.
Yeah, so 2 with Frank Quitely on it.
Okay. Did he stop, or how long is he on the book? Do you know?
Just another trade. There's only 4 trades in total. So,
oh, okay, so there's
the prequels is a different artist.
Gotcha. Okay.
I don't know who it is, though.
So Frank Quitely does, this trade's 5 chapters, and then the next one, I assume, is just another 5?
Yeah, it looks like it.
That's cool.
It's over there.
Cool. So we'll get into it then. Jupiter's Legacy, Chapter 1. It's 1932, and there's a group of people asking this man named Captain Borges to take them to an island that's like several hundred miles away. And really the main people you need to know in this group is Sheldon Sampson,
who's the main character, Sheldon.
Yep. And then his brother is Walter Sampson. So those are the main 2 people right now, I would say. I think his wife is in this. Yeah. Okay. So Sheldon has his wife. I think it's his wife at the time too. But Sheldon claims that there's an island in an unmarked area of a map because he saw it in a dream.
Yeah,
and which sounds a little funky. But apparently these people,
they'll die by his dreams.
They'll follow him into a fire, Sheldon.
Yeah, I'd be like, that's what his dreams say though.
Yeah, his dreams.
When has he ever been wrong? Other situations have you been
in? This is a cult. They're like, he got a message from God, and so we must follow him.
He's like into the Messiah unknown. To these 7 people.
Like, what an insane thing. And what's even crazier is that he convinces the guy with the ship to go there, to the island that's not even marked on a map.
Yeah, and apparently this guy thinks he knows the ocean so well. He's like, it's not there.
Yeah, yeah. How do you know? You can't know the ocean that well.
Yeah.
If you were dropped somewhere in the middle of an ocean, you wouldn't have no idea where you are, probably.
Well, when you know, if you start in one place and you go a certain direction, you're going to know what that trip is like.
Sure.
And you can, but
I guess,
like I
he
said,
knows
yeah.
specific ocean routes, I guess.
If you got like twisted up in the middle of the ocean,
say there's
a
whirlpool.
I guess if you have a compass, you could still go the same direction, but if you're
That's
a couple
dumb.
Miles off of each coast, you really don't know
yeah.
where everything is.
Yeah, it's crazy. Unless you like know what direction the sun goes or whatever. But that's boring. No one knows that. So anyway, Sheldon claims there's an island there because of a dream. After some convincing, Captain Borges eventually agrees to sail Sheldon and his peeps to the island. And as some character development, Sheldon Sampson lost like a bunch of money during like the stock market crash. And he thinks that this island...
the Great Depression.
Yeah, and like the Great Depression and all that.
Was it Black Tuesday or something?
I think that's what it is.
Okay.
And he thinks that this island he sees in his dreams will somehow lead to America's salvation, which is the craziest thing I've ever fucking heard, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so just kind of right off the bat, I probably said this when we read All-Star Superman, but I love Frank Quitely's style because he has like probably some of the most unique lines in the business, because a lot of his stuff, like he has like a lot of waviness to his lines, I feel like.
Yeah, a lot of his, but it's like intentional.
It's intentional. It's not like a not confident line. Like he does that on purpose, and it's like... it creates like more definition to characters' clothes and like faces, and
yeah,
he renders shirts. People's faces so specifically, unlike anybody else I've ever seen. So whenever I see like a Frank Quitely piece, I'm usually able to tell that that's him.
Yeah, it's definitely like one of the more interesting like art styles, just to like look at it. You know what I mean? And just like,
yeah,
you can distinguish that it's him, and then just like kind of the decisions he made.
Yeah, and whenever he gets like super intricate in details, I don't know, he just has a way to make it look like it's his style. So I really like that. There's also something I noticed in like this beginning sequence. There's like a lot of dialogue and some really like tight panels with like a bunch of characters. And I noticed that the lettering, like the word balloons, they go behind people's heads sometimes, which is kind of cool. It's like a very subtle thing. And maybe it was just like, I don't even think it was like a stylistic choice. I think it was just like, for sake of fitting like a whole word balloon on there, but I kind of noticed it and it's kind of sick.
They go behind people's heads.
Yeah, so like there's this panel right here where it goes behind like Sheldon Sampson's head, or like the next one right here, it goes behind his head.
Okay, yeah, I do see that.
Yeah, and I just think that that's a clever way of fitting a word balloon on there without distracting you. Because if that word balloon like kind of layered over his face, it'd be a little distracting.
Russ Wooten does something like that where like the balloon will be like in the corner or at like the top, and it'll kind of like cut off
at
the panel. And that seems to be a really good way to save space.
So it goes outside like the limits, if you will, of the panel.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like
that's
this
cool.
One, it's pretty close to what he does.
Yeah.
It's like in the corner rather than just like having the balloon in the panel no matter what.
So the word balloon goes over the panel. It's not the panel cutting off the balloon.
No, the panel does cut off the balloon, but,
but
most
he puts
of
it in the
bubbles
corner.
Are like in the corner. Gotcha. Or at the top or something like that.
Yeah, that's effective. So anyway, so they set sail and they never talked about what happened on that island, but they came back as superheroes. And essentially they helped America through the Great Depression, World War II, and a bunch of other conflicts. And then it jumps to Los Angeles in 2013, which is the present, obviously. And
yes,
the so-called golden age of superheroes is past. And now there's like a second generation of heroes along with the original sort of living in conjunction. So now Sheldon Sampson is the utopian. I refer to him as a utopian kind of going forward.
Yep.
He's basically Superman, I guess, is the best way to put him.
It seems like Mark Miller really likes like that like image of like what Superman looks like.
He does. He does a lot of
superior and like other stuff. Starlight, I think. Also, they both just look like Superman.
I think he likes that sort of idealistic character, like Superman, but then doing a twist on it. Because he also has Superman Red Sun.
Oh, yeah.
In which
true.
He's like a Russian. He like, instead of Superman landing in Kansas or whatever, he lands in like Russia.
Yeah.
And then gets raised by Russians. And so that's a really interesting story, too.
When I look at Utopian, I don't necessarily think like Josh Duhamel. But honestly, I think you can really cast like anyone for this, as long as it's just like a dude.
I'm so excited to see him in that like beard and utopian setup.
Yeah, reading this, I'm really excited to see like how he portrays that.
Yeah, me too. So Utopian has two kids named Brandon and Chloe, and right now they're at a fundraiser.
They have no superhero names. Very lame.
Yeah, it is kind of lame.
It's just, oh no, it's Brandon.
Brandon Sheldon. or Samson. So Brandon and Chloe are at a fundraiser, and Brandon thinks that Chloe is only doing it for her superhero publicity. So they both have powers, but they don't have superhero names, I guess.
Yeah, because like...
So does everybody just know them as Brandon and Chloe,
but
they don't know...
They explain that Utopian is the only one who has a secret identity. The rest of them, it's just like everyone knows them.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting.
So I guess...
So do they not know that Utopian has kids? I would assume not.
I think they know that Utopian is their dad, but they don't know what his that Sheldon is their dad too.
Interesting. You know? Okay.
So because he's got like an auto repair shop.
Yeah.
And so,
but he's the buffest man you've ever seen. You'd think someone would piece it together.
It's kind of like
the glasses with Superman, probably. Yeah.
What was that book that we read that that Bendis did where there's a huge like auto dude?
A huge auto dude
that repairs. Oh, guy.
Naomi.
Naomi.
Yeah, yes. That's true. That's true.
Yeah, that guy was gigantic.
Yeah, whatever his name was, I forget. But he was a good character. So anyway, I like that this like it's interesting that like the newer generation of heroes shows like way more skin, and that's like super apparent in this first issue, because a lot of the legacy, I guess, heroes, they're all completely covered up in like Superman-esque costumes, but this newer generation like shows more skin and feel like a little bit more slutty, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And it's like they're dressing up as like the slutty version on Halloween,
but it's like on purpose, just to like show, I guess, how much the like next generation has changed. I mean, I'm sure like our parents think that a lot of kids these days show too much skin or whatever. So
I think it might even be for like a mobility kind of thing.
Yeah, true.
Like this one girl that's like in this field, she could probably kick no problem.
Yeah. She's got nothing restricted her.
Yeah.
Same thing with Chloe. Her ass crack is basically hanging out too.
Yep.
I like the characterization of Brandon in this sequence, because when like two girls come up to him, he will like only pay attention to them if they want to like bang in the bathroom.
Yeah.
So it kind of just shows that he's kind of like over all this like superhero stuff and super douchey at the same time.
Yeah, like they're trying to get in with like his agent or something.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a boys kind of feel to where like superheroes have agents and they
do fundraisers.
They have sponsors and things like that.
Yeah. It's not as dark as the boys, I would say. Like their intentions are more like wholesome, I guess. Because in the boys, it's like money, money, money.
Yeah, and they're pieces of shit.
But in this, they're just like celebrities, I guess. Meanwhile, in Vermont, there's some of the original heroes like Utopian, Lady Liberty, which is Utopian's wife, and then Brainwave, which is Walter Samson, Utopian's brother. Those are like the three that you really need to know about, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So Utopian and Lady Liberty are together. Brainwave is Utopian's brother. And there's a few more in here, but they're fighting a supervillain named Black Star.
They're fighting very Darkseid.
It's basically just Darkseid, but he's not as cool because he's like...
He's getting his ass handed to him.
Absolutely, yeah.
Darkseid would never allow that.
Exactly. He doesn't have any Omega beams or anything.
So I guess like in this point, there's like a vast majority of heroes and not a ton of villains.
Yes.
So they're just like ganging up on this dude.
They fucking like dogpile on this dude.
Yeah, it's just like 20 dudes.
And just one fucking Black Star. And Walter Samson, who's now Brainwave, he uses his psychic powers to put Black Star in this like ocean shore of like a psychic environment. And while his body kind of just gets pummeled by all the other superheroes.
I thought this was awesome.
It was awesome. So that sequence where he puts Black Star into like this ocean shore is fucking awesome, because the panel itself is like him transitioning him into like that environment, but the outside of it is like the pencils, and as you get more centered in the panel, the actual like panel itself is more developed into like a normal comic.
You know, I didn't pay that much attention to that, but I see it now and it's crazy.
Isn't that wild? Like, it's such a creative way to do it, because essentially Brainwave is creating this environment like artists create environments,
right?
And it starts with the pencils and then it kind of goes into flats and then bigger colors and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I think that that's such a clever way to like do the old school like Charles Xavier, you're in my mind now, or I'm in your mind, or whatever.
Yeah,
so I really like that a lot. So it's super clever. I love Frank Quitely. And I do kind of admit it's like it's a little overwhelming to try and piece these heroes together, since they all kind of get introduced in like one big wave. And so you're like, who am I supposed to know about? Who am I supposed to care about? But I think eventually you get the point of who you're supposed to view as like the main people.
Yeah, I think they kind of stand out.
Yeah. It's just like the main two, Utopian and Lady Liberty, getting their children and then his brother.
So. Well, he's got a kid too.
He's got a kid.
Which is Hutch? His dude in the field. No. So we'll get to Hutch.
Or is that Jules?
Whoever this guy is with like the...
I think that's Jules. Haircut. Yeah. Anyway. So he's a character, but Utopian and Lady Liberty are kind of annoyed that their children didn't come in to help, but Brainwave has to kind of remind him that they didn't choose this life of superheroing like they did. So he kind of like plays the devil's advocate against his brother. But then Brainwave gets into a fight with Utopian about their place as heroes in like the overall political and economic system in America. And Brainwave says that like, he should be telling Obama how to do shit since he's so smart or whatever. And then Utopian's like, we still need to let the system work and work, obey the people that got elected there and stuff like that. So they have like different opinions about that. And then later at 4 a.m., Chloe was in a house with some friends complaining about her parents. And then she blacks out and falls onto a table. And that's how the first issue ends.
It's a glass table and just shards everywhere. But yeah, she's going to be fine.
But she's a superhero, so she didn't get cut.
Right.
So it's made to like look like she overdosed or something. But she doesn't do any drugs in this scene. So I don't really know if I understand that. Is it supposed to just be implied that she was doing drugs? Or
I think it was like...
Because like, who knocked her out? I didn't see her like shoot herself up with anything or anything.
There's blow on the table right here and she's got a straw in her hand. Is that it?
Oh yeah, that looks like a line of coke. I just thought that was like a rendering of the table, but I guess that could be like a line of a powdery drug.
Yeah, I don't think they actually show like the action, but
okay,
it's heavily implied.
So she does do drugs.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, good to know. Good for her.
Yeah, that's fun.
I like the way that Brainwave kind of thinks in this. Like, it makes sense why he thinks that way, because he's like this super big mastermind and he thinks that he could do everything better.
He's obviously going to be like a problem in the future.
Yeah.
And I love when villains like kind of have a point.
There was like a few times in this where I'm like, yeah, he's kind of right about this. Like, you can't just ignore the fact that you're superheroes and
yeah,
you're very smart and you can't just like leave that alone. So I do think that his motivation in this is very well put.
Like, that's kind of how Kirkman writes, like, all of his villains. Like, they all kind of make sense.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? I don't know who I want to win, honestly.
Like, Omni-Man is, like, kind of right.
You know?
He's kind of right, but it's, like,
for
wrong.
Thousands of years, just let it happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Why save all these people?
Also, important thing with any superhero, quick costume design check. I love every single one, except for the people that are just wearing underwear, basically. But what I like about these like superhero costumes specifically is that they actually look like they were like made. And what I mean by that is that you could like see specific stitching on the actual like costumes themselves and like where the creases are. And if they have like a logo on the chest, it looks like a different piece of fabric that's like sewed onto the actual like costume.
Yeah.
And like their
Utopians and Lady Liberties are like, they're kind of matching. They have like this like phoenix thing on it.
Yeah, Utopians looks like a big patch that he like sewed onto it.
Yeah.
And so I really like that aspect of it. And also their costumes are like Frank Whiteley does. He does like a bit of waviness to it. So it looks like it's not skin tight.
Yeah.
And it looks like an actual suit. So I've always enjoyed that about Frank.
Yeah, it's not just like, you know, the body physique with color on top of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I appreciate.
I appreciate that a lot too.
Mindwave, that's what he's called?
Brainwave.
Brainwave. His is I'm not crazy about, but...
Yeah, his is gray and there's like red on it and it's like, oh, is this guy supposed to be the bad guy?
But
what a fucking surprise.
I think that's how you tell apart like who's important and who's not. Like who has dialogue and who has like the more like iconic looking like...
Yeah, true.
Outfits.
Because like, everybody else kind of has, that's like a minor character, has like one color that they're kind of fucking with.
Yeah.
It seems like. Like there's a girl that's only in red and there's another girl that's only in blue and there's a guy that's only in green, so... I guess that does make sense. If they have like more effort into their costume designs, you could probably make the assumption that they're important.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting. I didn't notice that. Issue 2. So Brandon is drunk, but he's trying to do some good by lifting like a huge cargo ship out of the water to help them save some time for delivery. But this is all like in an attempt to impress his dad. But since he's drunk, he kind of does more harm than good. And he kind of like tips the boat over and some crates fall off until Utopian has to swoop in and help. And so Utopian yells at Brandon for like being drunk and reckless. And then Brandon's like, I guess I'm the only problem in your perfect life then. Like kind of angsty child stuff. He's like, I'm pretty sure he's like 35 or something. But
yeah,
but he still kind of acts like an angsty teen.
Okay, first of all, the powers in this book are so ambiguous. Like I have no idea who can do what. Like,
yeah.
I know Brainwave can do brain shit.
He does mind stuff.
But what the fuck do these people do?
So, apparently like, he can levitate things, because he's just flying there. He's not carrying the ship.
Telekinetic, and then he can fly, and he's probably strong.
He's very strong. We later find out he has laser eyes that he doesn't use again.
Yeah.
So...
And then... I'll bring this back up at the last issue, because I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Which is kind of funny, but then, like, what are the stakes at that point?
Yeah, I agree with
but
you.
But the
it's
fact
like,
that they didn't come out until they came out, like, that maybe that
yeah
adds to the storytelling, but...
Yeah, it is kind of funky. I totally agree with you, because they could basically do everything besides turn invisible,
yeah,
essentially,
like, when
and
all
have
the
psychic powers.
When the crates didn't fall... I'm like, who stopped that? This must be a new character. No, it's Utopian.
Yeah, Utopian.
I'm like,
just
oh, I guess he could do that too.
He's Superman and more.
Like, yeah, because I just imagine Superman when I see this guy. But yeah. He does a lot of other stuff too.
Yeah, it's crazy. We also see Chloe recovering at the hospital from the overdose, and the people at the hospital tell her that she's pregnant as well.
Yep.
Which is spicy.
Uh-oh.
We get kind of like a close-up on Utopian here, and I just love superheroes with beards. It makes him look like a total daddy.
Absolutely.
If I do say so myself.
Big fan.
And Josh Duhamel as
Same
Utopian
with you, man.
Looks like a daddy. I also look like a daddy with my beard. It's not as full as his, admittedly.
It's much more than I can do with facial hair.
Yeah. I wish my goal is to get like a Utopian level of beard.
You'd have to grow out your hair too. Because imagine.
Yeah.
The hair and beard combo.
Oh.
Tasty.
I'd be unstoppable.
Crispy. So she's in the hospital, and then like her cousin or whatever comes to visit, which is like Walter's kid. I don't know what his name is.
Jules.
His name is Jules?
Jules. J-U-L-E-S.
And so, oh yeah, that's true. Chloe gets like just really pissed that he's there for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And like screams. She said, she says like, I said not now, Jules. And like just like fucked up this room.
Yeah.
Like this whole room is all like rubble and cracked, like the windows. The blinds are all fucked up.
Yeah. Those are going to be like, so annoying to put back together.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, so what power is that?
She's got like the Banshee yelling now.
Yeah.
From like the X-Men. Yeah. I totally agree with you. Like a lot of their powers, it's just like, okay, I guess they have that too.
Yeah.
So we find out that the father of this child of Chloe's is this dude named Hutch, and he isn't superpowered. But we do see him use this like magic baton thing that can teleport people to anywhere in the world. That he controls, and he kind of uses it to get him out of like a sticky situation with some like villains, I think, because he like teleports one guy into like shark infested waters, and then he is about to teleport some other dude to like the moon. So
Hutch's dad is a villain.
What villain is he though? Do we know?
No, I think it's like
it's supposed to be
it's
ambiguous.
Just like an old villain that died or like retired or
for,
something.
For a little bit there, I was like, what villain was it? Like Black Star?
But no, we've only seen that one villain so far.
Okay.
But I think that's like the conflict in their relationship is because she's like
dating a villain.
He's son.
A villain's son. He's technically just like a drug dealer, I guess, but
yeah, and so that flashlight thing, I guess that was made by his dad who does actually teleport.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting.
So
I didn't catch that. That's good.
Details.
So in DC, we see Brainwave is pitching like his 600-page new economic infrastructure plan to some government officials, but Utopian, again, has to like break it up, and then they argue about like their place in America and their views on controlling the government, and then Utopian thinks that Brainwave is kind of driven by his ego and that he's not as smart as he actually thinks he is. So he kind of has to make them break that up. And, you know, at this point, I was like, this is a lot more about politics than I was expecting, but I do see like the clear reasoning of each side. Like one person's like, just let American people be Americans, you know,
American people.
Like, whatever. And then Brainwave is like, we need to help kind of deal, which I can get both sides. And for a little bit, I'm like, Brainwave has this plan. Like if he pitches it to them and they like it, it's still their choice to like implement it. Right. So like I get both sides at this point, which I think is cool.
There's plenty of things that can be updated, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. And then later, Brainwave meets up with the Utopian son, Brandon, again, to ask him like a hypothetical about him becoming the leader of all the superheroes if his dad dies somehow, which kind of turns into Brainwave manipulating Brandon while he's like pissed at his dad. And they want to execute a plan to take down Utopian since Brandon is like the only one strong enough to best him.
Yeah, I guess so.
So it turned really quickly from like, hey, would you like to be a leader? To like, let's kill your dad.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
But then they establish that their relationship's not great.
Yeah.
In like the beginning of this issue.
Yeah.
So.
They clearly don't like each other that much. Or Brandon doesn't like Utopian that much.
No.
But it still feels a little easy to just convince him to kill his dad. He might have been drunk in the scene though. It is at a club. So.
Yeah. I love these panels where it's just like characters standing. I don't know why. Just because like it reminds me of the covers. Yeah, and true. Kind of stand out to me.
I mean, Frank does that like super well.
Yeah.
To be honest, like anytime that there's like a splash of his, like it's always just fun to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see what he details. Like, look at it. Look at Brandon's hands. Like, they're just so rendered, and you can see veins on his hands and shit.
Good hands.
Good hands. Absolutely. Hands are hard to draw.
The worst.
So, yeah.
Just put them in pockets. That's what I say.
But now it's chapter 3. This is the one where shit kind of hits the fan, but it begins with Utopian, like, at his normal person job as a mechanic. He's daddy mechanic. He's got, like, the sweet mechanic suit on, but he's buff as fuck.
Yeah. He's got the workman shirt that's super tight.
Yeah.
Sleeves rolled up.
And, like, how does he manage running a business on top of being the superhero?
There's just not a lot of villains, sense. Nathan. You got to fill in your time.
I guess that's true, yeah. Mm-hmm. That is the one unique thing. It's like, normally, I feel like with superhero stories, it's like, there were heroes, so villains came out, you know? But yeah. In this, it's like, no, we're good.
Yeah, you know, we took care of them.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Like, with Brainwave's, like, power, why wouldn't they do that to just everybody and then just fucking kill everybody?
I think that's kind of what they do.
Right, right.
Because he does it with Black Star, and it was like, yeah, that's what we do. So anyway,
that was easy.
Utopian, as this mechanic dude, has a conversation with Hutch, which is Chloe's baby daddy, and Utopian tells him he needs to, like, fuck off or whatever, since he's, like, a bad influence as a drug distributor. Not really a drug dealer.
Yep.
But Utopian all of a sudden has to fly out in a rush. And then meanwhile in space, Brainwave is like manipulating Brandon some more and convincing him that Brainwave's plan is like the reason that they're actually there, you know?
They're just chilling on a satellite.
Chilling on a satellite. They're just talking like...
So they don't have to breathe air.
Like a boy and his uncle, you know, just chilling. Uh-huh. And he's like so manipulative because Brandon was like... Did the president really want me to be a part of this or whatever? And Brainwave's like, yes, he did. I talked to him.
Just got off the phone with him, yeah.
And then Brandon's like, maybe this is the reason why the superheroes are here. And Brainwave's like, yes, it is. So he's like, he's really convinced him at this point. So then there's like a coordinated attack that happens. Utopian goes to space to stop like a nuclear device from like plummeting to the earth.
I thought it was like a meteor.
It's like a meteor, but I guess it has like nuclear weapons on it as well, which who knows how that got here, but he knows...
What a cocktail for disaster.
Yeah. A meteor and a nuke?
A meteor that's also nuclear.
Those are like the two biggest world-ending things, is a meteor and a fucking nuke.
In one.
And someone duct-taped them together. But, so Utopian goes to stop that from plummeting to the earth, and he tries to like call on the other heroes, but no one's helping him to like stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And... also, back at home with Lady Liberty and Chloe, there's a few superheroes that are attacking them. And Brainwave, there's like a big scuttle. Brainwave ends up trapping Lady Liberty in like a psychic trance again, while the other like heroes in this situation stab Lady Liberty with a sword and like kill her.
Everyone who has a sword stab this lady.
Yeah. Like,
it's fucking brutal.
There's swords, there's arrows, there's like an axe
there's
in there, I think.
Spears and shit.
And it's bloody as fuck.
It's like through her neck.
And she, like, I love the splash page because she's just, it's super bloody. She's on her knees, like the clear face of like shock of like not knowing what's happening, comprehending what's happening is just truly crazy.
Big
and then,
Turner, yeah.
And then Brainwave just kind of in the background. Looking like, yes, I did this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty crazy. Lady Liberty just died. And they're about to go do the same thing to Chloe, but Hutch comes in with his like little teleport stick and breaks her out. And then they're kind of like led on a chase all around the world, but managed to escape. Which, you know, this is something that totally like is like the big twist of the book for me, because I'm like, okay, this is a book about Utopian.
It's kind of a kick in the balls. Like, here's the story.
Yeah.
This is what it's about.
It's like, boom, this is the concept, you know?
Yeah.
So Lady Liberty's dead super early on. It's about to happen to Chloe, but they all run. And I really love the sequence where the heroes are like chasing Chloe and Hutch like around the earth, because mm-hmm. there's like an actual panel where it's like just the earth. And they're like teleporting like Hawaii and Hong Kong and Sydney and stuff.
Yeah, he just
and the
like
heroes are like able to catch up to them, I guess.
He just yells out a place and then they're there.
Yeah.
And then they just fly super fast and like look for him.
I guess so, yeah. But they managed to escape and now they kind of have to like hide for the moment.
Yeah. And so we go back to...
Then we go back to Utopian, who tried to stop the thing.
They're in the desert in Arizona, just so you know.
Well... Because he was stopping that meteor.
The nuclear meteor.
It exploded, And then while he's plummeting down to Earth, the other heroes come in and start punching him, and then they plummet into the Arizona desert, which, fuck yeah, Arizona.
Yeah, it's cool.
Does this look like Arizona to you? Whenever I see Arizona, I have to be like, is that Arizona?
It's a lot of dirt. Yep.
That's Arizona. But so yeah, now there's like the rest of the superheroes all group up on Utopian. They all just dogpile him as he lands in the desert, and he's just beaten down. And Brandon eventually shows up, clearly on like the side of Brainwave, saying how like America needs this to pull them back together or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then Brandon uses his laser eyes to kill Utopian, burning his whole fucking face off.
He lasers his eyes into his eyes.
He does a Godzilla, but with his eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He stared into his eyes.
And it's cool because, like, that whole page is, like, crazy because he lasers his eyes and there's, like, a big bright light slash... I don't think it's, like, an explosion, but, like, a big blast. And it can be seen from, like, miles away.
Yeah.
That just kind of, like, speaks to, like, the impact of what's going on. And then, like, you see Utopian's just skull face. And he's dead now.
Yeah, that was brutal. It looked like he was almost like, I don't know. But he burned his face off. He just looked really thirsty, like when I looked at him.
Man, get this man out of water.
But his face is obviously burned off, so yeah. He might be a little parched after that.
It's clearly a skull. But it's cool because like his, like where his face is normally a skull, but he's still got like hair. Still, like, in, like, the back of his head.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's just crazy. Like, it looks awesome. And so, Brainwave comes in after that happens, asking him what they should do next, since he says that Brandon was going to be the leader. But Brandon doesn't know, and so he asks what Brainwave thinks. So, it's pretty clear that Brainwave knew that Brandon wouldn't have a fucking clue what to do, which, like, once he killed his father... Which gives Brainwave kind of all the power in this situation as a chance to like step in as like the leader, which I think is like really cool idea.
Genius.
Because he manipulates him. He's like, you're going to be the head honcho, but he knows that he's fucking dumb.
He's like, yeah.
But now it's him. So yeah, that was like a really awesome issue, to be honest.
Oh, fantastic.
Just because.
One of the best.
It's not about politics anymore. It's about your fucking parents are dead.
Yeah.
And you got to run. And then.
Both of them.
And then it like becomes a story of like Chloe, which didn't really get a whole lot of like screen time, I guess, up to this point. So it's pretty cool.
Page time, Nathan.
Page time. page count.
Paper time.
Panel size.
Sounds like a name for a band. Paper time. What does that mean, Nathan?
Paper time. Band name. Call it. I mean, it's time to get money. Time to get paper.
Copyrighted.
So chapter 4. It starts with a flashback to
1932.
1930? I'm going to drink some water.
Tip of the tongue, teeth and lips. Your lips are muscles, Nathan. You got to warm them up. Got to limber up. Blah, 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 blah. You want to do tongue twisters again?
No, I'm good. I'm ready. Okay. I'm lubricated properly.
That's what it was.
Yeah, that's what... I'm just drinking lube.
So they go up on this mountain.
So yeah, it's 1932... It's like the story of when everyone first stepped foot on the island and gave them their powers. So the group basically explores the island and discovers there's like alien technology on it. And they step through this door in a mountain that essentially takes them to a completely other environment that's like deserty looking.
So Arizona again,
yeah. And they find two aliens there. And then Sheldon Sampson says that those are the aliens that called them there initially and that they should trust them.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fucking crazy talk again.
If you took me through a door in a mountain and there's two giant aliens and you were like, we should trust these guys. I'm like, fucking why?
Well, at the same time, insane. It's like, how would he know to go there, you know? So it's like, this guy kind of knows what he's doing. Like, at this point, I'd believe him. But at the very beginning when it's like, I had a dream.
These could be psychopath aliens.
They could be. You're right.
Absolutely not.
I like how tall the aliens are. It's kind of like funny to think that like a lot of aliens in like sci-fi are just like the same height as people.
Yeah.
But that has no effect as to like how tall
aliens
are.
And have like two arms and two legs.
Yeah. Yeah. The humanoid stuff is typically just like, it's kind of boring, you know?
Yeah.
It's always fun for me to see an alien that's not humanoid with like clearly two arms, two legs, a mouth, you know?
Like in Arrival.
Yeah.
I thought that was probably the most accurate of what
is
probably
aliens would be big and have like little tendrils or whatever.
And they talk through these...
they're not
these,
green.
These splashes.
Yeah. I love that movie. I should rewatch it.
Fantastic.
So yeah. I like the design of like this alien spaceship though, because it looks like a more tall structure as well. I assume that that's what that is an alien spaceship where they get all their powers.
I thought it was like a mountain or something. It kind of looks like a...
It looks metallic corn, in some way.
Corn on the cob or something.
I guess that's a way to put it,
like
yeah.
Like a corn husk.
It looks like the foot and calf of like a mech.
Baymax.
What?
A mech?
Like a mech, yeah. Did you say Baymax?
Yeah.
Like the white?
Yeah, you seen his foot?
It's not all metallic and cool looking. It's just like a little fluffy.
But it's like that shape.
I guess. I guess, yeah. So, that's kind of how they got their powers, I guess. It's aliens.
Are you talking about like the Gundam mechs?
Just any mech. Like, yeah, sure, a Gundam one. Yeah, it looks like just their right leg.
You know? You're right.
So, anyway, jump back to what's now is the future in 2022. Can you imagine?
Dude, a time so far away. That's next year.
That's next year.
I was like, wow, the future.
Yeah. But like, it's just Australia 2022.
That's like 7 months from now.
Yeah. So, Chloe and Hutch are like still laying low to hide from the heroes. And they now have their child, whose name is Jason. And Chloe's telling Jason a story about the good old days when all the superheroes were like good people, you know. But it's clear that Brainwave and his army of heroes have kind of taken over the world in some way, because we see ships with Brainwave's logo kind of patrolling over Australia during its curfew. So it's kind of like...
Is this idea went to shit?
Yeah, yeah.
Because now, this is like what...
He clearly...
This is what Hydra had in mind?
Yeah,
with exactly. Like the helicarriers?
Exactly. That's exactly what this is. He just took all the power for himself.
This is scary looking.
It is. That ship is like...
It's very dark. It looks like a flying beetle.
It's big. It's got one big cannon, maybe.
I know.
And then two smaller cannons that are still probably pretty big.
They probably... It's probably awful. They probably have things like curfews.
Yeah. Well, they do.
It's awful.
Because in this like big splash page, it says no to curfew. There's like graffiti on the wall.
Oh, does it?
Which is kind of cool.
Look at you.
I always look at the stuff in the background, Daniel. It tells you more about the story.
And I tell you stuff about the actual story.
Yeah, sure. I guess.
It's because you're too busy looking at the art.
I look at everything. I see all.
Except for the words, Nathan.
Except for just, yeah, the words on the page. I try to avoid those as much as possible. I like pretty pictures better. So anyway, Chloe's like telling him a story about the good old days.
We should read a book without reading it and just kind of like trying to figure out what it's about just from the pictures.
Yeah, we should.
Or like one of us reads it and the other one just try and guess what it's about.
I would love to do that. Like you just scan the pictures and be like, what happened here?
Let me tell you. What didn't happen here?
Oh, that's the guy. He's got like an eye patch or whatever. He's a bad guy. It's I don't like him.
A book report on a book you didn't read.
That'd be so much easier for comics.
Honestly.
But anyway, so Chloe and Hutch now have like normal jobs to like help them blend in, and then Jason, who's like a superhero child, has to like intentionally lose any like sports games he's a part of, or he even gets like bullied at school so people aren't aware of like his abilities.
Yeah, and he like intentionally fails math and shit.
Yeah, he intentionally like fails school even though he's like a super smart kid.
Yeah, he's like Dash basically.
Yeah, yeah, like, that's exactly that.
He's like
idea.
Throwing the races.
It'd be funny to watch like a live action Jason who basically has like all the same powers as Utopian and Chloe, but has to pretend to like get beat up by fourth graders.
I mean, they did that in like Man of Steel.
There's
like those bullies that he could have fucked up.
I think he kind of gets beat up though, doesn't he?
I think it's more of his spirit that's hurt.
Yeah,
not
that's
actually
true.
Him, because he could rock their shit.
It seems like in here, like Jason's having a fun time acting like he's getting beat up.
Yeah, he's like, how'd that look?
Yeah, did I sell that one a little bit? You know.
Yeah, but then they go get ice cream.
Also, big shout out to Frank Quitely. He's really good at drawing kids.
Yeah, fantastic.
Like,
the proportions are really well done. Like this kid,
he's a kid.
He's definitely like 11,
and he looks like his age because I think he's supposed to be 9.
He's got a big old head, malnourished.
Yeah, but like kids can be hard to draw. If we've read stories where kids don't really look like kids,
sometimes they just are smaller adults.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
They just like click on the entire adult, and then they click on the quarter box, and then they drag them down.
I've like looked into this, like how people like draw proportions. Like the torso is like three heads, and
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah,
and so that's gonna be different for kids.
Yeah,
and Frank Quitely definitely
he nails it.
Nails it.
Yeah, and same thing with kids' dialogue, which I don't think Mark Miller is like that great at. With Jason, it makes sense that he talks more like an adult because he's like super smart.
Yeah.
But there are some like kids later that talk in like a way that I don't even talk now because it's like so proper. So I'll point that out later. But
okay,
so we kind of find out that the State of America didn't work out like Brainwave had hoped, and they fixed like a few things at first, but overall the result was pretty catastrophic. So much so that Europe and Australia are kind of feeling the effects. People are kind of like rebelling against America and stuff. But Hutch is kind of walking with the sun, and there's like a huge random chemical plant fire that's getting everybody's attention. And Jason manages to sneak away. He puts on his like suit that he made himself, and then he tornadoes around the fire, and then he manages to like get rain down on the actual like chemical plant.
Yes.
To like stop the fire. So maybe he has, I couldn't tell if he has like weather powers or if he can just manipulate the weather in such a way that he knows how to make it rain, you know?
So weather powers?
Well, like it almost seemed like he created like this little tornado and then put a lot of pressure up in the air so that the clouds would precipitate because there's a lot of pressure in the air.
Yeah, I see what you mean, but I think he just has weather powers too.
That could be it.
And then he can
honestly.
Fly and stuff.
Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me.
And he's strong, he's a genius.
He could probably
fast.
Fucking shoot like fire out of his hands. I don't know. So but yeah, he resolves the chemical plant fire, and then he manages to like sneak back to his dad's side without his dad noticing that he left.
Yeah, and he was just like, I think he was playing dumb though.
His dad?
Yeah. He's like, no. Oh no, there's a fire over there. And he's like distracting like the other pedestrians so that his kid can like go like to this like little shack or whatever. And
so
change.
Maybe. But the only reason I don't think that is that the last panel in the sequence is Hutch saying like, all right, now let's go home so you can fake flunking your homework. So like, I think, I don't know. I think
he knows he fakes like everything.
Yeah, I guess. I don't think that, because he's still like a normal person, so he wouldn't have like super eyesight or whatever to see like a person spinning around the tornado or whatever.
I guess
I get the idea that he doesn't know about it, but you might be right.
It honestly can go either way. Yeah.
So
because I don't know, based off of what we read, does it seem like they know about his superheroing?
They know about his powers, but they don't know, I don't think that they knew about him being a superhero kind of going around. There's a page or there's a panel in this sequence where it does the thing that I like, where we kind of see the progression of a character all in one panel. So in this, we see Jason like run to the bathroom, and then he like puts on a suit and flies out the roof, and I love that shit.
I have to go back.
It's this one right here. So he's like running, he's kind of like taking off his clothes, and then he leaves all in one panel. And I think that's just like the best way to do a scene like that,
it gets the point across.
Yeah,
and then done in one panel.
Yep, it's awesome. So then we kind of see a scene with Brandon and Brainwave at the White House. Brandon is like pissed that it's been 9 years of them in power and not everything is fixed like it was supposed to be, because there's like a bunch of riots and there's like huge unemployment rate and stuff. But Brainwave tries to convince him that they are just changing an entire constitution, essentially, mm-hmm. which takes a lot of time. But Brandon even like snaps at some protesters before Brainwave takes control of the citizens' like minds and like makes it all okay. But then we find out that Brainwave has a lead on Chloe's location because there was some weird thing that happened during a chemical plant fire. So he kind of hired someone to go investigate.
Yeah, and what I liked about this was that I guess they look at like tragedies and stuff that happen in like certain areas and how many people are being saved.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. They have stats for that.
Yeah, they have like a whole council of people that are trying to find the rogue superheroes and supervillains.
Yeah,
which is cool. So he hires this guy, and he's got a mustache. I don't know if we're supposed to know who he is when we see him.
No, I think it's like, hey, this is a new character. He's badass.
Yeah, who's something. This guy in the black cloak and a cane? Probably.
I wrote down Wolf.
Wolf?
Yeah, his last name's like Wolf. Or
oh
something.
Yeah, that's what his name is. The last issue, the investigator is named Barnabas Wolf. And he's the head of security for Brainwave and is tasked with hunting down rogue superheroes and supervillains. And he's on Chloe's trail in Australia, and he manages to like accidentally take down a different superhero named Skyscraper while she's hiding in Australia. So he kind of like takes her out of her job and then like questions her, and he's like, how come like you don't turn on your AC? Like, do you not care about your AC or whatever? So it just kind of like turns into, I know who you are.
All these questions that have like clear answers that were kind of explained well.
Yeah. But then he he's able to manipulate inorganic matter. That's his power. So he basically has the whole room filled with knockout gas, and everybody is knocked out except for her. So he knows that she doesn't need to, like, breathe.
Yeah, she's like, well, why aren't you knocked out? And then she turns around and she's like, oh, shit. Yeah,
so she tries to leave, and then, but she's caught by this wolf dude manipulating inorganic molecules. So she, like, makes, he, like, manipulates matter in a way that there's, like, gum around her ankles, and she, like, falls over.
Oh, actually, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like that pink stuff around her. It looks like gum. I don't know what it is, but he's referred to as the Molecule Master.
It's kind of a cool name.
Yeah.
That seems like something that would come out in, like, the 30s. Or, like, what was that? Mirror Master and
Mirror Master. Man. Yeah. But, yeah. I like the sequence where she tries to escape because she jumps out of the window and then she lands as, like, a really big person. And I think that was done really well.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, look at all the little people.
Like, she doesn't have that much, like, fall damage in that case because she just, like, grows.
Yeah.
Super big. But, yeah, she falls over and then she gets caught. So, meanwhile, during Jason's lunch at school, he flies to the moon to work on this device that he's been working on that's basically like an X-Men Cerebro type thing.
That's what it is. I was like, it's like the X-Men Skinner thing.
It's built to track down other heroes that have like a superhero gene that I guess exists. Mm-hmm. And so his mom, Chloe, is there on the moon to put a stop to it, to the device, and then has to convince Jason against using his powers just like for their safety. Because they heard about the skyscraper thing getting caught.
Yeah.
But Molecule Man sees Jason leaving Earth from, like, a satellite that was in the sky.
Yeah.
And while on, like, the school bus for Jason, he hears about the Harbor Bridge collapsing, and he flies off to go help there.
Hold on one sec. So on the moon, when he's, like, supposed to destroy the Cerebro thing...
Wait, hold on before that. How cool does that moon look?
Good looking moon.
Dude, it's like so detailed.
It's like the moon.
It looks like a picture of the moon.
It might be. I don't know.
It could be, yeah. But anyway, continue.
Yeah, so when he's told to destroy the little machine, he just like...
Crushes it.
Like he like makes a fist and then it crushes right next to him.
So he has telepathic... Is that what it's called? Telepathy? I think it is.
Telepathic is like, I can read your thoughts.
What's the one where... Levitation?
Telekinesis?
Telekinesis, that's the one. I kept saying telepathy, but I meant telekinesis.
So, you remember that movie, Chronicle?
Yes.
Where, like...
Good movie.
Dane DeHaan just, like, he does that same thing, but with, like, a car?
Yep.
He's got that powers.
Yeah. He's like Dane DeHaan, but a small child.
Yeah, and less angry.
Less angry. Yep, so on his way back, he gets caught by Jason, and then...
So, his friends on his school bus, like, tell him about, like, the bridge.
Yes. And so this like, is the thing, like, that...
Why do I care?
This is the thing that bothered me, okay?
Okay.
So this is an instance where I really just can't get past Mark Miller's child dialogue because there's literally, like, a 10-year-old kid on this bus that says, like, verbatim, the Harbor Bridge collapsed. We heard it on the news. What kid pays attention to the news, first off? But anyway, if you hurry now, you'll make it, but you haven't got much time. What kid speaks like that? Like... If you hurry now, you'll make it, but you haven't got much time. Like, what is that?
How would you properly say that?
If I was writing a kid, I'd be like, oh, you need to leave now to save the people. Like,
fucking hurry.
Yeah, like, go.
You have no time.
I wouldn't say, like, if you leave right now, you might have enough time to, you know, just the way that, like, who says haven't?
I haven't.
you haven't got much time. Like, it was just such a weird thing for, like, a 10-year-old kid to say. It would just be, you'd think it'd be, like, more broken English or, like, simpler words.
You know? Honestly, I wasn't thinking about it that much. But it bothered me. Have a point.
It irks me a little bit. But, like, I'm an adult with a degree, and I can't construct a sentence that well.
So they,
especially not in, like, the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
So
they figured out that, like, he's, like, always gone when some disaster happens.
Yeah.
So, and like, so they're like, you're obviously a superhero or something.
Yeah, so you need to go save these people.
And then
he
jumps out the back door of a bus, and they're just going to be like, oh, it fell off.
Yeah. So Jason goes to help the people at the collapsing bridge, which ends up being a setup for Molecule Man, who like hits Jason with like some kind of blast thing, but he hits him down to the ground, and he's doing this to bait Chloe. And so we see Chloe fly in almost like immediately to defend Jason because she hears about what's going on, and she uses her
hold up. Sorry.
This page, are you going to talk about the page?
All
right, what are you talking about?
Because he says like, oh, mommy, please help me, like, really quietly.
Yeah.
And she just, like, hears him.
Oh, okay, cool.
And then he's like, don't cry to your mother. And then she comes.
And then she's like,
that was cool.
Mommy hears everything. Like, that was kind of sick.
Yeah.
When she shows up.
Love that.
I think that, dude, that page of her, like, flying there is, like, one of the coolest things, because it's a scene where we get the sense that Chloe's flying in to protect Jason, but it's so good because we don't even see her and, like, how fast she's going, because it's, like, demonstrated through papers being, like, kind of ruffled in the air, or people's clothes kind of going in the direction of where she was flying.
It looks just like strong winds. Like,
yeah, in, strong, like, winds in the direction.
At this park and, like, in the city and stuff like that.
And it's so clever because you get the sense of, like, how fast she's going. Like, we don't even see her. We just see the aftermath of what happened when she passes by.
I honestly didn't even know that was happening until you just said that.
Yeah, which is, like, a super clever way, because it's,
like this a lot more now.
Yeah, and it's not, like, the typical, like, just little blur or whatever of someone really fast going by.
Yeah.
They kind of get around that in a much more clever way. So I like that a lot. So Chloe flies in. She uses her, like, telekinesis powers, I guess, that she has to knock all the other soldiers back. And then she kind of goes after Molecule Man. And then Hutch sees this on the news, and he teleports in with a train to knock out all the other guards that were there. And then Chloe gives, like, a little speech about how she's not, like, a little girl at the party anymore, and does, like, a big blast thing. That's a new power that she has, which knocks everybody back, and then she goes in to kill Molecule Man. So it's, like, a big whole scene, and there's, like, a lot of stuff here, but that I want to cover. So, it's really cool to see Molecule Man in action. Like, he turns, like, thin air into, like, a big block of glass that Chloe has to, like, punch through.
Yeah.
And that looks really cool. But he can also, like, manipulate, like, the concrete from under her to, like, try and, like, grab her and shit.
Uh-huh.
And that's a really cool scene as well.
Pretty dope. Yeah, and so, like, she has this, like, telekinesis thing where she throws, like, all these bricks at these people.
Yeah.
And then she just, like,
what is this, like, body blast situation?
She just, like, I don't know, like, explodes or something.
She has, like, some weird, like, Super Saiyan, like, fucking thing where, like, there's just, like, an energy blast that comes out from her body. And it's a really sick double page spread, because it's, like, all the guys flying and stuff, and, like, the perspective on it is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I just didn't know she could do that. So, like, what else can she do?
Yeah, that's the page I'm like, holy fuck.
Like, what's going on? Because I don't think we knew that she had, like, telekinetic powers at all either.
No. So
we're finding out a lot about her.
We just knew about the Banshee Scream, really.
Yeah. So anyway, they all escape with Hutch because he has, like, his teleport stick after the fight. And they escape to the North Pole, where they have, like, a little RV-looking thing. And Chloe, like, remembers a time when she was a child and was told that she would save the world one day. From, like, Utopian, who's telling her that.
Mm-hmm.
And their plan now is to have Jason rebuild that Cerebro device, and then they go recruit all the rogue heroes and villains, and then they plan an attack on Brandon in Brainwave.
Yeah.
And even though they're, like, outnumbered or whatever, Chloe says that heroes don't care about odds, and then the book ends. So the book moves really quick, and I think it's like that because of that huge twist in the middle. And I'm, like, totally cool with it.
Yeah, I liked the pacing. I think they'll probably flesh this out a little bit more. I don't know how much the show will cover.
Like, I feel like if
it'll definitely be, like, a kind of like Umbrella Academy was.
Yeah. I feel like if Mark Miller was trying to, like, stretch this out for as long as it could go, like, that twist at the end would be, like, the end of the trade. Or, the twist at the middle where, like, Utopian and Lady Liberty die.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be, like, the end of a trade.
Yeah, that'd be
and
great
then, like,
trade.
The end of this trade would be the end of the second trade, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he condenses it all into one and kind of, like, makes the pacing, like, a lot better.
Yeah, it kind of goes against, like, what John Layman was saying, is that the third issues you just kind of play with.
Yeah.
But these all seem to have, like, pretty strong storylines.
Yeah, them. Each issue is pretty strong because it's, like, the first one, they're heroes. The second one, like, there's more turmoil. The third issue, the parents die. The fourth issue, we find out Chloe's on the run. And then the last issue is, like, the big fight. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think it worked really well. Each one was kind of, like, a different story of its own right.
Yeah, definitely.
So, now, what would you rate the book, Daniel? We keep forgetting to do this sometimes, but what would you rate it?
It is a I gotta have it.
Yes.
And one of those signature ones that you can get that,
like, ooh,
you know, with, like, all the shit in it.
Yeah.
You don't even have to tell them what it is.
It's like a fuck yeah fudge brownie, like one of those names.
Yeah, with, like, Reese's and shit.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be dope.
Nice.
Right off the bat. That's what that is.
I would say it's a regular gotta have it. Like, it's a really good book, totally worth
everybody's
time. M&M's and then, like, I don't know. Let's go with M&M's.
Sprinkles, maybe?
Sprinkles, yeah. Two toppings.
Wait, what kind of ice cream?
Cookies and cream? Oreo?
Ooh.
Maybe something like that?
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's a pretty good book. If that speaks to how good this book is, then you should pick it up. I think it's definitely worth the time, especially with the Netflix series coming out. I'm, like, really interested on how they do this.
Yeah, I could not, like, morally go into watching that show without knowing what the, like, source material was.
Yeah.
So I know whether or not to be mad at the show or something.
Yeah. But, yeah, now we'll go into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters. Nathan, we got some kick-ass Back Matter here.
So much Back Matter. So we have a cover art gallery, which has
Brian Hitch.
Tons of Brian Hitch covers. And he does so good with the people in this universe.
Excellent.
Like, he kind of makes them look more like mainstream, like, sort of superheroes.
Kind of like his art style.
Yeah, which is his thing. Like, he does that with Superman, with Batman, and all that.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that, like, he wasn't, like, the artist, you know, of this book, because Frank Quitely does it in, like, such a special way.
Yeah, dude, when Frank Quitely does, like, books, it just gives it this whole vibe to it.
And it's,
and
like,
it's, like, a whole other flavor than, like, what, like, Brian Hitch could bring to it.
Yeah.
Both very good takes on, like, things, but I'm normally happy when Frank Quitely does things.
Yeah. Every Frank Quitely book is a Frank Quitely book. Like, I feel like you can't do that with anybody else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, there's a really cool Phil Noto one. I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah, when they're, it's just them normal in the 30s.
Yeah. There's a Brian Hitch cover that makes Hutch look like Kurt Russell. I don't know if you agree with that statement, but...
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. There's a Jock cover.
Oh, yes, sir.
Which is cool because this was before the show was even announced, and now Jock's doing, like, intro stuff for the
Netflix series. This looks like something that'd probably be in, like, the intro.
We'll have to look out for it. So this is Utopian, and then there's, like, a little glimmer of Chloe in his chest, I guess. It looks like it, yeah.
Oh, okay. I think it's Brandon.
There's a Sean
Brandon's got pants on.
Oh, true, true. Yeah. There's a Sean Phillips.
Booty cracks.
There's a Sean Phillips cover, Daniel.
Where?
It's after
I'm looking
page.
At all the Brian Hitch ones.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Dude, the Sean Phillips one is so sexy. Like, he's
so good.
He's, like, one of the best in the biz.
Incredible.
Just because of his, like, painting. Does he paint? What's his process? You know more about him than I do, I think.
He pencils.
He pencils, and then it seems like this is, like, paint that he does.
He normally has, I think he has someone do the colors.
Okay.
On a lot of his stuff. Sometimes his son does the colors.
Oh,
which
cool.
Is cool.
Nice.
His son's, like, almost as good at drawing as he is.
Okay.
I'm sure he does, like, covers with, like, paint.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I've seen, like, a lot of his sketches in pencil.
Okay,
so he
cool.
might paint after that.
Nice. Some more Brian Hitch ones.
Lots of Brian Hitch.
Yeah. I think just he's best buds with Mark Miller, so it makes sense that he's on here a bunch, which
right.
good, because he draws very well. And
this one's cool with Brainwave, and there's just, like, the earth is splitting.
Yeah, I like that one.
Brutal.
Then we got a few more. We got a John Cassaday one.
This is probably my favorite one.
The John Cassaday one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks really good. And then we have some artist bios. So we have Mark Miller's one. And there's actually some, I read it, and there's some stuff that I learned in here, actually, about him.
About
so
him.
Apparently Ultimates was penned as the comic of the decade.
Ultimates was?
Ultimates, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which is pretty cool. And it also mentions his work doing Marvel's Civil War and Old Man Logan, which I didn't know this, but apparently those are Marvel's two highest selling graphic novels ever.
Civil War and Old Man Logan?
Civil War and Old Man Logan, yeah.
Huh.
Which, they're great graphic novels. Like,
absolutely.
All standalone and, like, great story. Yeah,
we'll
have to do both of those, I think. But what a flex to have Marvel's two biggest selling graphic novels.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And then Comic of the Decade or whatever?
And then Comic of the Decade.
Yeah.
This guy's got...
There's so many comics that come out in a decade.
He's got big dick energy.
Absolutely.
And then there's a Frank Quitely one as well, and it mentions his work with Grant Morrison, and it shouted out New X-Men, All-Star Superman, We Three, which I really want to read.
I read that.
Is it good?
I enjoyed it. I wouldn't recommend it to people.
Interesting.
Because okay. I read it, because there's one year in Christmas I gave everyone graphic novels mm-hmm. based off of what I thought they would like. And as far as I know, no one read any of them. But I was going to get Roxanne We Three, but I read it first, and I'm like, oh, no, she wouldn't like this.
Yeah.
It is a good, like, concept, though, and a good story.
Okay, cool.
It's just kind of like...
I do want to read it at some point.
It's
just because
it's dark and there's dogs involved. But
nice, okay.
We'll get to it.
Then Batman and Robin... It highlights, but it also mentions his work at DC in Wildstorm with, like, the Authority, because I guess he did some Authority after Brian Hitch.
Yeah, so I think he did the second trade
with Mark Miller, right?
Mark Miller, and then it was like Warren Ellis and Brian Hitch on the beginning first trade, or maybe it was like the first two trades.
I think it was. Yeah,
both really good.
But apparently Frank also did JLA, and then Flex Mentallo was like his first work in American comics. Yeah. And then I guess he's done New Gods as well. So like, there's a lot of Frank Quitely stuff I haven't read, which I would be.
We should just read all of them in a row.
Yeah, all in a row.
Like, this is week 8 of Frank Quitely stuff.
And then apparently outside of comics, he has a hobby where he produces artwork for CD covers and then posters, as well as doing character design for animation.
We got to write an album and then hire him.
Yeah, let's hire him.
That'd be sick.
So yeah, great back matter, honestly.
I would just want him to draw me. Like, can you draw me? And then that'll be the cover.
Yeah.
That'd be sick.
He does like close up faces very well. Do you remember that like Lex Luthor cover he did? There's like a cover of Lex Luthor and it was just his face. But it was like so well done and like well detailed on like the face and like his wrinkles and stuff that it just like flew off the shelf, I'm pretty sure. Because I tried to get that one and it wasn't there.
So it was for a book for Lex Luthor?
I think it was like either an Action Comics or it was like a Lex Luthor book on its own. But it came out like a year or two ago.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. But anyway, with that, we'll go into the pull list. Colin, shove it in your box.
The pull list, the pull list. What did you shove in your box? So I got that book, Jonah.
Jonah and the Impossible Monsters.
Yeah, I got the first two of those.
Did you read it?
Nope, just got it.
Okay,
just
cool.
Just purchased it. Okay. Then Firepower 11 came out.
Nice.
Got that.
And
then I got
Two Samny books.
Yeah.
Two different Samny books.
And then I got the next trade for Jupiter's Legacy.
Nice. So you got some reading.
Got some reading to do. I always have reading to do.
Yeah.
Let's stop kidding ourselves.
This week I picked up Green Lantern number 2, which I haven't read yet. I picked up Dead Dog's Bite number 3 from Tyler Boss, who's the guy that did 4 Kids Walk Into a Bank and stuff.
How's that going?
I read the second issue and it's fun. I don't know how long it's supposed to go, but it's just like a mystery book and I'm invested in the mystery and it feels kind of like Twilight Zone at the same time.
Okay.
I'm interested in it. I want to see where it goes because it seems like he really took a chance on like a crazy story and I think it's working out for him so far. So I'm a big fan of it.
Okay.
Heroes Reborn. I decided to pick it up just to give it a try. It's the Marvel thing.
What's the concept on that?
It's the Marvel universe, but none of the cool characters are there. So all the Avengers are just gone for some reason. And the only person that remembers it is Blade. But there are like the Earth's Mightiest Heroes. It's just the Squadron Supreme. So like they've kind of fill in for that spot.
Oh yeah, we did talk about this, huh?
Yeah.
So I saw that and I hesitated, but I didn't get
it. It's so weird because I feel like it hasn't been advertised as much as Marvel typically does stuff.
Yeah.
And they got like Lionel Francis Yu, who's like a great artist, to do a cover. And the cover doesn't look that engaging to me. It's just a weird concept to be like, do you want to buy this crazy event Marvel book with none of the heroes that you like?
Yeah.
But it's Jason Aaron and I'm a big fan of his. So I decided to give it a shot and I did read it. That was the only thing comic I read this week.
And how is it?
It's kind of cool. Basically, the twist at the end is that, for whatever reason, Captain America never emerged from the ice.
Oh,
so
cool.
He's the one that kind of kicked off, I guess, all the superheroes in some way.
So this
and
is
somehow
like
that never happened. So Blade has to kind of figure that out. And so
okay, that seems cool.
Yeah. So it seems like all the like new generation characters, like Robbie Rees, Ghost Rider, is like a part of this too. So it seems like those characters are like still a thing. But some of them haven't become superheroes and stuff. So it's interesting.
It seems like a fun Elseworlds idea.
Yeah. So I don't know how long it's supposed to go or what, but there's a couple tie-ins and stuff I think that are coming. But we'll see if I continue it. And then I also picked up Star Wars Bounty Hunter War, which came out
from... Have you been reading Star Wars Bounty Hunters?
Nope.
Okay.
I picked it up because Steve McNiven's drawing Boba Fett, and I'm a big fan of that. So I'm going to read this one and see how it goes.
Okay.
So yeah. And that's everything I picked up for comics. And as far as watching stuff, it hasn't been that much. I finished Solar Opposites season 2.
Oh, yeah? Good?
I love that show, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really funny. And like the last two episodes, one had me like very impressed. Again, just kind of the stuff about the wall.
Yeah.
There's a lot of spicy stuff that happens. And then the last episode just had me chuckling like the whole fucking time. So I really like that show.
Okay.
I hope it continues.
Yeah, and, I keep forgetting that came out.
Yeah, it's good. It's only 8 episodes and they're only like 20 minutes, so it's pretty breezy.
Okay.
And then I actually started watching, I'm really late on this, but I started watching Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
And I like that a lot too.
Yeah, it's good. I only have watched like 2 episodes.
But nice.
Because like I started it, I'm like, this is good. I'm gonna watch this.
And it is
like,
good.
And then I remembered, oh yeah, I started watching Atlanta. And I watched the second episode, and then this is here we are.
I've watched 4 episodes.
Okay.
One of the episodes has the Migos in it, which is pretty cool.
Really?
Oh, cool. Yeah. It's a good show. It's like it came up before Dave, but it's like kind of the same like general idea, but there's a lot more like social issues in there. So it's like a comedy and like a drama. It's a dramedy. Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Right.
What have you been watching?
We're chugging through the Marvel movies. We watched Guardians of the Galaxy.
Nice.
It was great. Thor 2. And I have a question for you.
Okay.
So is a coat rack worthy?
No.
Okay. Is a table worthy?
No.
Because Mjolnir is on both of those.
So Mjolnir isn't like a super heavy thing.
Okay.
He could put it wherever he wants. It just, no one can lift it up. So to the table and the coat hanger, it's as heavy as like a normal hammer, but the only people that can lift it are Thor, you know. And me and Sophia watched Thor Ragnarok since we last had the pod.
Uh-huh.
And there's a scene where there's like a dragon that he's fighting in like the very beginning, and he puts Mjolnir in the dragon's mouth, and it like makes him fall all the way to the ground.
Uh-huh.
Which makes sense because like the force of Mjolnir is constantly going down because of gravity, but the dragon can't put any force going up because the dragon's not worthy. So the Mjolnir basically falls like at the same rate as if Thor were to just drop it, essentially.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So that all makes sense. So there's like a scene where Thor puts like the hammer on Loki's chest and he's like stuck there.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not crushed by it. He just can't lift it. So he's stuck there.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. That clears things up for me.
Yep. You're
welcome. Because like Sarah asked me, she's like, wait, what? I'm like, you know what? I don't know.
If you want to get her in here, I can explain it to her.
Yeah, no, I'll try and paraphrase what you said. And you know how good I am at paraphrasing.
Yeah, so good.
We watched Ultron. Honestly, I like that movie.
I like it too.
Like, it seems like there's a lot of hate around it. It's not as good as like the other Avengers movies by any means, but like,
it's not bad.
It's super solid. Yeah,
I enjoy a lot of it. Since watching it the first time to watching it again, I am more familiar with that voice actor that plays Ultron, James Spader.
Yeah.
And I just like can't like separate the two.
Yeah.
I just see his character in like The Office being like the boss.
So I just found out that he was in The Office, so that didn't even like affect me.
I've seen The Office basically from watching Avengers Age of Ultron the first time in theaters to watching it again, and it's just like it's so hard to separate.
I think he's like a really cool villain.
He's
just
great.
Like how he's like portrayed and like how he delivers everything.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack in that movie.
There really is. There's a weird Black Widow Hulk relationship.
Yeah, you know, that was odd, but it kind of made sense, I guess. But
I guess
I'm glad that kind of like went away.
Yeah, me too.
And then I watched The Bad Batch, Nathan.
Nice.
Do you want me to tell you about it? I won't spoil anything, but I can
tell me about it real quick.
So it's based like during Revenge of the Sith.
Okay.
So they're like the Bad Batch or whatever. So
what does that mean?
That means like they're kind of deformed, and they kind of have, not like deformed, but like they didn't come out the same as the rest of them.
So they're defective clones.
Defective, but they still like operate, and they kind of are enhanced in certain ways.
Interesting.
As opposed to like being like regular. They call like the other troopers like the regs.
Okay.
The first episode is like an hour. So
sick.
That. I thought it was going to be like a half hour. I'm like, this is long.
You always got to look at how long an episode is to prepare yourself.
I guess there's some sort of like chip in all of the stormtroopers' heads that make them like obedient.
Yeah.
And they don't have that.
Oh, okay. So they weren't affected by like Order 66.
Yeah. They didn't know what it was.
Cool.
And so, like, you know how like something just kind of snapped in all the stormtroopers and they started killing
them? You know, this was a book, actually, The Bad Batch.
Actually?
Yeah. I think Ben read it and he was telling me about it in excitement for like The Bad Batch show. Oh. So this rings a bell.
Yeah. It's sick. I think it's a really good show.
Cool.
I already looked up at all the toys. Got to figure out which one I want.
I'm pumped to watch it, honestly.
Yeah. It's like the, you know, following like the Clone Wars and stuff like that. So it's
Is it like same animation style as Clone Wars?
Yeah, it looks like it's just like another episode.
Sweet.
So I'm glad, like a part of me thought it was going to be a little different, but I'm okay that it's just the same.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Did you watch anything else other than the Invincible finale?
The Invincible finale, Nathan?
I watched it on Friday, like, in the morning, like, during, like, while I was working.
How can you handle that?
Dude, I was fucking...
As soon as you were gone, I turned it on.
Amazed. Oh, yeah, you watched it on Thursday. So, it feels like forever since this came out.
I had to wait for, like, Survivor to end, but then, yeah, I put it on.
This show's so good. Before we jump into it, though, like, Ben watched it, like, the first few episodes.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's gotten so much praise and, like, so much... like, I don't know, attention that he was like, hell yeah. And I think he's a big fan of J.K. Simmons, which is why he watched it. Yeah, honestly, he's great. But Ben was like, holy fuck, dude. Like, the end of the first episode, I was like, I've never seen anything like that before. And I just, like, got so, like, it was such, like, a feeling of, like, yes. Like, I was,
yeah.
Like, I felt proud that, like, he was experiencing something that I thought the same thing of in, like, the comics and, like, in this show.
Yeah.
It was just, like, a cool feeling. Be like, yes, like, you love it, too. It is a good thing.
It's like trying to introduce, like, your kids into things that you enjoyed as a kid.
That's exactly what
I felt. And you have, like, the same feeling that they had.
It's total ecstasy. Like,
like, isn't it good? I told you.
Yeah. I'm like, see, I'm not just fucking a nerd. Like, there's cool stuff in here, you know?
Yeah, no.
So, anyway, yeah. The Invincible finale, insane.
Yeah, it was nuts.
Just a big, big old fight that was crazy, just between Mark and Omni-Man and everybody. There's a few big highlights, which is just the subway scene.
Oh, absolutely gruesome.
I felt uncomfortable.
I was as uneased, and I was like, no.
I was a little disturbed.
It just, like, kept going. It was so brutal.
It's that, like, I'm glad that they don't hold back at all, because, like, there's a lot in there where I just felt bad, but that's how a fight like that would go. Like, if you get punched through a building, people are dead.
And then
know?
You just go straight down this street. Like, yeah. That's like one punch from Omni-Man.
You're killing people as you're recovering from one punch.
Right.
And then that, like, building collapses and he tries to save, like, the one, like, daughter and mom.
Yeah.
And they die, and it's just awful.
The arm was, like, severed. Yeah. I was like, fuck, dude, it's so heavy.
It's crazy. But, like, Omni-Man's obviously a bad guy, you know? But he's kind of got a point.
Yeah, I know. That's what it sucks about all of Kirkman's books, is all the villains are like that. They kind of have a point, because they're going to live for thousands of years. Why are they protecting these people that last for like 100?
In the grand, like, span of Mark's life, this first 17 years is going to be like his first, like, few days alive, like, essentially. Like, he won't technically, like, from...
Like, comparing it to a human's lifespan?
Yeah. Comparing it to a human's lifespan. Like, when he's old, he probably won't remember all this. Because, like, in the grand scheme of things, this part's so significant. But because that's how he's raised, he kind of, like, defies that. And I think that that's so good, too. And the fact that, like, Omni-Man calls, like, Mark's mom just a pet.
Yeah, she's more like a pet.
I'm like what fuck the fuck? You, dude. Like,
I know. You.
That's,
like,
bestiality, if anything. Like...
No, like, you definitely, like, hate Omni-Man in this point.
Yeah.
And then
he's, like, punching him. He's like, fine, what's 17 years? I'll just bang somebody else.
Let's make another one.
Yeah. That's so brutal to hear.
Yeah.
And he's all bloodied and it's, like, fucking basically dead. And he said, what do you have in 500 years? And that line where he just says, I'd have you.
Oh, dude.
Oh, crushing.
Broke my heart.
it's so crazy. And he's so manipulative and good that it. Just the show's really exciting, and I'm sad there's not another one this week, but
yeah,
really, really good finale.
I like that bit where, like, he, like, thinks for a second, and, like, it's like a flashback to, like, a baseball game. Dude, when he had his arms crossed, and, like, I'm like, I want to look like that as dad.
Honestly, dude.
That'd be so sick.
That's a daddy, for sure.
That's a daddy.
That's what people say when they say daddy. That's Omni-Man.
And so it gives him, like, a little bit of, like, humanity.
Yeah.
And, like, he, like, hesitated with, like, killing Invincible.
Yeah.
And then just, like, flies off.
Uh-huh.
And I know immediately what happens next.
And the stuff, like, immediately after with, like, Mark and stuff, like, trying to, like, just cope with that at all.
Yeah, like, he's,
even,
like,
try to begin
and
to,
like, dealing with trauma.
It's insane. Same thing with, what's her name? The mom? Betty?
Debbie.
Debbie? She's an awesome character. Like, much better in this show.
Yeah, absolutely. Brought so much to that character.
And she has so much depth, and, like, obviously this would weigh a lot on you. And I think it did in the comic, too, for sure. But,
absolutely.
Like, it's just crushing to see that, like, in motion and, like, with acting.
And you can, like, hear, like, her voice.
And, like her
broken.
Crying. And she's like, I'm going to go get some rest. But really, she's going upstairs to cry because, like, she can't handle everything that just fucking happened.
Yeah.
It's awful. Totally awful.
Skybound has, like, Invincible merch. And they have, like, a shirt that's it's just Debbie. And it says Debbie under it.
Fuck yeah, give me that shirt.
I kind of want to get it. I'm like, yeah, Debbie was awesome.
She was a great character, honestly. Yeah, she's awesome. And, you know, Mark's friends are like, are you okay? And they're like, obviously you're not okay, but like, do you want to talk about it? And things like that. So it's just really weird to like...
Dude, fucking Amber just comes running back.
Yeah,
I'm like, fuck, bitch. You.
Oh, now Luke...
This is inconvenient
Luke
for
you. Comes running back, yeah.
I'm still a liar, aren't I?
I bet you look stupid. I bet you feel stupid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just... It's crazy. I was glad to see Alan, the alien.
Oh, yeah, back. That was great.
Seth Rogen's so perfect for that character.
There's literally no one better.
I didn't think that he would be initially. I didn't know who I thought in my head would be a good actor, but...
As soon as I saw that cast list, I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
I just love when he's like involved in these things that he produces.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I'm very excited. So they're gearing up for the Viltrumite War, like just a war against Viltrumites, against all the other planets that haven't been colonized yet.
Maybe.
Maybe. Who knows? But... Yeah, there's like a montage of like hints of things to come, which is also really exciting.
Yeah, they showed when Omni-Man was revealing what his real intentions were with Earth, it showed like the Viltrumites and stuff.
Yeah.
And you see Conquest.
Conquest was there.
Oh man, what a bad bitch.
Yeah.
And then just like all these people.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Is there anything in particular that you really hope for in season two that you remember?
I want to see the Martian that's acting as a human.
Sequid?
The sequid, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Are the sequids the Martians?
The sequids are trapped on Mars.
No. I want to see the Martian that makes it back to Earth as an astronaut.
Oh, that's not that compelling, honestly.
I just like the joke. I'm curious if they like follow through with the joke.
They'll probably also bring back like, you know, the astronaut that's on Mars with all the sequids.
Yeah, yeah. That stuff will be cool, I'm sure. I want to see more Alan the Alien, and then I want to see Mark and Eve's relationship eventually bloom. I don't know if it's time for that yet, but
Amber's definitely stuck around a lot more than she did in the book,
which is fine. I mean, she's a good character, and it's Zazzy Beetz, so you don't like really waste that, you know. You don't just do that for a couple episodes. Do you think Omni-Man's gonna be back second season?
I think so.
I think he will too. There's definitely like enough content in the book between when he leaves and when he comes back. He'll that they like, could do a whole season out of.
He'll probably like come back like in the middle.
That's what I think.
But there'll be like some time where it's like, oh, Omni-Man's gone. And Invincible's like the strongest person on Earth.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Good book.
Good book. Good show.
Good show.
Big fan.
Mm-hmm. And that's it, I think, for this week.
Indeed.
Yeah. So, we're filming some episodes back to back because we happen to be on vacation two consecutive weeks in a row.
Yep.
So next week, we're going to read Jason. I Killed Adolf Hitler.
Correct.
So that's the show for this week. You can reach us by email at tradewaiterspod@gmail.com or on Twitter at tradewaiterspod. Or you can follow me specifically at more like Nate Thick because I'd be tweeting.
I'd be tweeting. Thanks. Thank you for listening.
Yep. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Nathan Moss, for our music and nobody else. that's the show for this week.
All right. Bye, guys.
Later.